our number two right now. It has been far too long that Cliff Mickelson has not been on this program. He is back this hour, and I grabbed it, and I lost it, and I grabbed it, and I was going to call it. Anyway, I finally sent him an email, and he wrote right back, and he is here tonight. Cliff Mickelson has been saddled with the ordeal of Morgellons for a long time. Cliff Mickelson and dear Jan Smith were with yours truly on maybe 40 radio broadcasts about Morgellons disease, or more likely and more correctly, Morgellons infestation of the human body. Morgellons nanotech infestation of the human body. Cliff, from a first person perspective, and Jan the same, offered so much during those programs. It's just stunning as I look back on it. Now, for those of you who don't know a lot about Morgellons, which has basically been out of the news for the last 15 years or more, you would like to, I would think, look at the article on the right side above the coronavirus section, Creeper Joe, Nano Joe. Full paper. It's all there, the full paper. It took me almost five days to finish it. Is this how they reanimate Biden? A stunning look at Morgellons-style nanotech moving intelligent fibers. And I would urge you to take some time and go through that article. It will give you the background you need. It's a very, very important overview of nanotechnology in the human body. And it was made possible by Jan and by Cliff Mickelson and a few others sharing, but those two above all, sharing their experiences as Morgellons victims. Cliff has never thought of himself as a victim, neither did Jan. Jan was, I think, without question, one of the most heroic people I've ever had the pleasure of knowing, over the airwaves, so to speak. I never met her, but she was, I think, the number one citizen scientist in this country, trying to solve the problem of what these weird fibers were. And now that we know, and right at the top of the coronavirus section, you'll see the second story. If you think these nanotech fibers are just single strands of something uniform, take a good look at one under 5,600 magnification, and you will see astonishing things. Please take a look. The third story, three videos of moving nanofibers in face masks. You are inhaling them, or they are crawling onto your skin and gaining access to your body that way. We know they're in the masks. We know they're in the sealed test kits that also come from China. We know they're in the swab ends, or Klaus Schwab ends. When you pull one apart and look at it under high magnification, even 20 power, you can see that these fibers are not correct. There's something wrong there, and they move. So we're being attacked with Morgellons type, and I go back to this genesis because it was 15 plus years ago, maybe close to 20 actually. They've done a lot technologically to bring this incredible science, this nanotechnology science forward, believe me, in 15 years. Back in the day of Morgellons and when we were doing the programs, it was relatively cut and dried. I think a lot of people were intentionally infected to track, to watch, and to see how the fibers performed in them, what their reaction to it was, how much the American public complained about it. They got all their answers. They know. And this so-called pandemic, this plandemic, this scamdemic, clearly is predicated on the use of advanced nanotechnology, which may not have been a human invention entirely. I'm very suspicious. When you look at those pictures of the magnified fiber, you look at number three and you ask yourself, did we do that really? And that picture's 15 years ago or more. Did we really do that? And my answer is, not by ourselves. We did. So let me bring, we're not going to take a break at the bottom of the hour. Cliff Mickelson has been a friend of mine. He actually visited me one time. It was a great, great opportunity to shake this man's hand and say hello to him. I want to share one thing before I bring him on. He is such a kind, caring, intelligent man. And once upon a time, he was married and had little children. And they lived in a nice house. And when he found out what he had, he built a second house on the property and isolated himself in that home so he would minimize any possibility of spreading these fibers to his wife and children. That's the kind of man Cliff Mickelson is. Not many would do that. So with that, let me bring my friend back on, your friend, if you've been listening for a long time. These programs that we did are so important. Cliff, great to have you back. I'm sorry it's been so long, but you come at a very important time. Welcome.
Yes, thank you, Jeff, and it's a pleasure to be back on board. Right off the bat, I want to congratulate you on an amazing article that you wrote concerning Joe Biden and concerning the fibers, the evolution of the fibers. That was an incredible article. I read it twice today already. And wow. Yeah, everybody out there in Radioland needs to read that article. That's your homework for tonight. So do it.
Thank you. Thank you. When I saw somebody had submitted a complaint, it wasn't even video yet. They were saying, "Yeah, there's some fiber in this swab." And I went, "Uh-oh." And I went looking, and I finally found some freeze frames or still images, and I went into a state of mind. I knew immediately what I was looking at, instantly. You would too. Probably you did. There's no other way to look at this. This is nanotech. It's the same thing as the old Morgellons fibers, but it's 15 years further down the road. Go ahead, Cliff.
Well, and we have, as you intimated earlier, we have no idea of how farther along they've managed to develop this technology. I mean, we can only imagine or guess. But even back then, as you stated, to look at this stuff, to look at it under high power magnification, it was astounding what you would see. And it was very obvious to anybody that you could still fog a mirror when they got up in the morning that right. This was not just human technology. I mean, it was just so far beyond what we at least thought we were capable of at the time. So where we are now is in a whole nother brave new world where we can only imagine the nightmares that have been developed. And the people out there in Radioland who haven't really familiarized themselves with Morgellons, they may think initially that, wow, these are some, you know, pretty outlandish claims or that sounds hard to believe. Well, let me assure you that it's very believable. And I would urge those people to go back and do some research back to the days when Jan and I were working and you were working with us as a team to write about and to videotape and to photograph what we were seeing. And it'll speak for itself.
If you scroll down the page under the Biden article and so forth, you got to keep going, and eventually you'll come to a little house. It's a little white house with a blue-green roof, real cute little drawing with a red front door. And it says, Jan Smith's America's Greatest Morgellons Researcher. And I what that woman did was incredible to me. She bought her own magnification equipment, her own videotaping equipment. She hooked these things up so she could record imagery. And her body was so ravaged by Morgellons that she was a constant, what do you call it? And like exhibits in a trial. She had lesions all over her body, face, mouth, everywhere. And she would probe these lesions and look in there and pull the kind of crusty covering. These lesions won't scab up like a normal lesion would. They would grow what she called a plaque, like a gray, gooey kind of a substance, and they would kind of get crispy. And she would pull it off, and always underneath would be fibers. And then she began finding other little bits of metal. And you will see those photographed by Jan in that article about Biden, Creeper Joe, Nano Joe. Now, those are 95% of Jan's photos. And you won't believe what she found. And this is being deployed against us, probably worldwide, although it could be selectively used against white Western Christian civilization countries. It could be used selectively against us in this country. If the Deagle projections are right, we've got less than 4 years now before we'll be down to 99 million people. And the UK will be down from 68 million to 14 million. And Germany will be down, and Italy will be down, and France will be down, etc. Spain, all the white Western cultures are slated, according to Deagle, to take huge hits in the next 4 years. So this is the technique that could be used to do it. We don't know what they do. We do know they exist, these fibers and other things. There are other, believe me, other components in this nano world of nanobots and nanotech that they're using all the time. They could be inhaled, they could be swallowed in water, they could be delivered any number of ways. Cliff?
Yeah, that's absolutely true, Jeff. They and I've done lots of research over the years because I travel widely, and almost everywhere I go, I'll do samples. I'll take samples of the environment. I'll do samples off of buildings. I'll do samples out of hotels, wherever I find myself. Even out in the jungles of of Ecuador, wherever I am, and you will find these fibers. You will find evidence of Morgellons in those places, and more so now than ever before. So it's not just going away; it's actually increasing, and so it's out there, folks. And if you start looking, you're going to find it. All you need out there is a minimum of a 10 power hand scope or a loop, and I recommend actually like a coin or stamp loop, and you can start finding this stuff. Look on windowsills, look on light switches.
Oh, good idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
10 power handheld magnifying glass or a little coin scope. I got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, it's a great little tool if you really want to go out and just verify what you're hearing tonight is true. You'll be impressed in no short order. And I recommend looking around electrical sockets, believe it or not, and light switches, because for some curious reason, these things do seem to congregate in those areas and in areas that haven't been dusted in a while. So yeah, it's real.
One thing I used to ask you, because you've fought this issue, and we're not going to go into detail, but Cliff is still fighting it. It's not an easy thing. It can take up primary residence in any particular, we think, organ in your body. We used to wonder these lesions, and I remember asking, I think I asked you, maybe Jan or both of you, I said, could it be that these lesions are not entry points for these fibers and other things, but they're exit points, that these fibers have already gone throughout the body, major organ systems, and they're there, and they're proliferating, and they're getting out of the body looking for new hosts? And I asked that question of you. Remember what you guys said?
Yeah, personally, I think that's a very astute observation, because it's absolutely true. They are exit points. And that's you can pretty much count on when you have a lesion, you're going to have an exodus of a large amount of these creations all over the body. And they will take up another point you made, and I think it's worth mentioning again, is that this particular creation will house itself in just about any part of the body that it decides to move into. It does seem to be more attracted towards hair follicles. It likes hair, and it also likes fatty tissue. But it's not adverse to living inside your body as well as out, or traveling, as you said, through the body. You'll find it on the skin. But I think, like you said, most of the damage is being done internally, and those lesions are exit points.
Remember how many times we used to to hope that somebody would be able to perform an autopsy on a Morgellons victim? How many did we see? How many?
That didn't work out very well, did it?
No, it sure didn't. And the reason that we were wondering about this is because Jan had first one knee and then the other knee replaced, orthopedic surgery. And the doctor came. You remember the story. Tell him what happened after her surgery.
Yeah, so she goes in for her first knee replacement, and they do the surgery. And then when she comes, they get done with the surgery, the doctor comes to her and says, what's all this stuff? All these fiberish things that were inside, underneath the kneecap or wherever they found them. And Jan didn't say they were Morgellons. I think she dummied up on it or something.
She did. She did.
Yeah.
I don't know what they are. No, I don't know. Because she wanted her other knee done.
That's exactly right. She was already hip to the fact that if she'd have said the dreaded M word, that they would have probably thrown her and the gurney out the door. So she didn't say anything. And she just said, I don't know. You're the doctor. You figure it out. So she went in a few weeks later for the other knee. And lo and behold, you would have thought it was the Spanish flu or something. They had the place locked down. The nurses and the orderlies and the doctors were in hazmat suits, all to do her surgery. And Jan is thinking to herself, oh, yeah, these people know what's going on, but they're just dummying up about it, you know. So, yeah. And when they cut her second knee open, Jeff, they found more. And after the surgery, she was in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And through the entire thing, both knees, including the second circus that she went through, nobody breathed a word of the Morgellons. It was just completely hush hush, and they wouldn't touch her with a 10-foot pole. They were hazmated right to the max.
The issue of internal penetration and infestation is a huge one. I used to ask occasionally, Cliff, what do you think? How many people on the planet do you think might have some fiber infestation at this point? And this is at the height of the flap. And you remember what you said?
Yeah, it'd be just about everybody at that point.
That's right.
Just about everybody. And the people that think that that's not the case might want to start looking under their fingernails or checking the insides of their nasal passages, because at this point it is pretty much in everybody, and not only humans, but also in some kinds of animals and insects.
There was the Oakland A's pitcher. He was a relief pitcher. I think it's Cy Young Award winner, I think. Anyway, I forget his name now, but he came down with Morgellons, and that ended his baseball career. The discomfort and the potential of spreading it and all that, he literally the year after winning the Cy Young Award, he was finished. Now, here's the big part, though. He had a wife and three kids. The wife got it. Then the three kids became infested. I could say infected, but this is not an infectious process. It's an invasion. It's an infestation. They all became infested. And then the two family dogs got it as well. Now,
exactly.
That ought to tell you several things right there. One, it is eminently transmissible, person to person, people to animals. But this, again, we're going back 15 to 20 years ago. What now we have are Morgellons fibers that are obviously two or three generations or more down the road from those original ones, which I'd still believe to this day were released as a beta test. They wanted to see how people would react, what would happen, the news media and so forth. And I think today what we're seeing in these swabs and things and the masks are far in advance of what we saw then. Now, I'm just guessing because I don't know. But do you have any thoughts on that, Cliff? It would have to be that they were much further ahead now.
I agree with that. I also have another observation that one of the things that I think they were attempting to do with the introduction of this, as you said, a beta test, one of the things that they wanted to find out was, could they control it? Could they control the way people react to it? Could they actually control the people? Could they debunk it to the point to where people wouldn't believe themselves? Mind control, what kind of mind control activities could they exercise to actually show that they could introduce something like this and then deny that it existed, the classic Goebbels, if you will, or the classic, it'd be a Goebbels type of a propaganda thing where you just create the lie and make it big enough.
Sure.
You just tell people they're crazy. And so I think that was one of the things they were doing. And when they discovered they could successfully manipulate and control the reaction to these creatures, then that gave them the green light to move on. And that's where we're at this point. They know now that no matter what they do, they can control anyone who tries to blow the whistle on them. They can minimize them. They can marginalize them. They can debunk them, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that was an important part of the beta test with the Morgellons.
I don't want any of you thinking now that, my God, I had a test. I must have it. You probably already had it. You probably just didn't get this particular kind of nanotech that they put in you. These things are all obviously tailor-made for one function or another. We think without question, and we thought back then they were send and receive capable as well. There's no reason that they wouldn't be. And when you remember what, I think it was Fauci, maybe it was somebody else, maybe it was Debbie Birx, I don't know. But they said they wanted to vaccinate, was it 80% of the world? That was their goal. Now that told me one or two things. One, it told me that they clearly were after control of 80% of the planet. And it could be life and death control, easily, with the vaccine, the so-called vaccine. Number two, it said that, are we going to allow a technology like this to go out there and be implanted in so many people without the potential of the vaccinated giving it to the non-vaccinated? And I said to myself, no, they're not going to do that. They're going to make this transmissible, probably through body fluids. Like I say, a kiss, tears, urine, anything. These fibers may be the end result of a smaller item going in that grows into a fiber that is pre-programmed to generate, and you look at the pictures of them, these internal structures and these fibers that are just, my God, they're incredible. It looks like it's a sci-fi movie. And you look at them and you say, what are they going to do with these? Well, the question is, what are they doing with them? And I'm sure that these fibers were designed primarily to go into the brain. That's why they used that long tip swab and went all the way to the back of the sinus. No reason whatsoever for it. They could have done a very simple salivary test, just inside the cheek, done. Saliva did perfect, no problem. You can get your reading that way. So they're really up to no good with this. It's not something that you want to do, though, to get tested. Don't get tested. Don't touch the shots. That's me talking. Not speaking for Cliff necessarily, but I'm sure he agrees. You don't want this stuff. It's not a proven vaccine. It's not a vaccine at all. Go ahead, Cliff.
Absolutely, Jeff. All I can say to the listeners with us today and tonight is, please, folks, think about this before you do anything rash. Think about what is happening here, okay? I mean, there are so many levels of what's happening here that we could spend all week talking about it. But just quickly, first of all, let's just look at the basics. Where's the testing time? I mean, what do they have, 20 minutes to test this vaccine? And what is this vaccine? Why is this vaccine? I mean, the list just goes on and on. Can you sue the people that made it? Guess what? No, you can't, because they got legal immunity. That right there ought to be a red flag. The list just goes on and on. And now, who knows, Jeff has a really, really good article listed on his site, folks. If you haven't seen it, I urge you to go read it. It's called, it's a LifeSite news article called Your Government is Lying by Michael Yaden, who is a former vice president of Pfizer and the chief scientist for allergy and respiratory issues, been there for 32 years. And he's saying that it's just an easy step to put something in this vaccine that will activate in a year, 2 years, 3 years, and all of a sudden you've got permanent liver damage and you die.
Right.
We're already seeing the J&J vaccine. All of a sudden, the pigeons are coming home to roost there. We know that the AstraZeneca, over the 36, I think, Jeff, is that correct? 36 people and one death on the AstraZeneca.
Oh, more than that. They don't report them all. So
no.
They just, no.
Yeah,
they tried
absolutely.
To buy off people in the beginning, and I think they just had too many deaths. AstraZeneca is pretty well on the shelf now. It's done. J&J should be on the shelf with it, too. I believe both of them were the adenovirus format. That was the platform they used to try to deliver this this gene-altering technology, which is insane.
Right.
Yeah, it's right there. Let's see. Oh, you can find it. I've got it up there twice. Ex-Pfizer VP, your government is lying to you in a way that could lead to your death. And the lie of dangerous variants. All these variations of this so-called coronavirus, it's a joke. There's nothing there, he said. It's just a con job. Sure, there are variants, but they don't become more virulent. They're just common with any virus. And he said this is a conspiracy that may cause far more carnage than all 20th century wars, he said. It's talking about mass depopulation. This is the ex-Pfizer VP, Dr. Michael Yaden. Now, if he ends up suiciding, I think the world will understand instantly that this man was killed. They kill a lot of people.
Yeah. And this is to top it off, is one of, another reason that I would just urge folks to think twice about running down to get that shot, get that jab, as they say. And but like I said, the list could go on and on. And the whole thing's a pretext anyway. As we already know, the end goal, of course, is all about control and instituting a permanent form of what they call, for those of us who are still around, I should say, a passport go to the grocery store to buy a hamburger, okay, or whatever. That's coming too, and coming down the road.
Anything that would take you into interaction with the general public is going to be tied to some kind of a passport at some point. That is coming, no doubt.
Yeah.
It's part of the social credit game. Oh, it's all going to be monitored. If you're not vaxxed, you are. Who is it all? Oh, darn it, I forget who. Somebody said you're a threat to humanity or humankind. It was somebody like a Fauci. If you're not vaccinated, so they're doing everything they can. They gave us the bums rush, and they're trying to guilt people into getting these things. And that, in and of itself, should tell you run the other way. This you've got to get your vaccine. When have you seen a president do this with a disease, a virus that has untreated a 99.97 something percentage survival rate, untreated? And if they simply give you vitamin D3, it's you're not going to die. This thing it's like the common cold. It is a cold virus, as we know. But this was all done in advance. I had a picture of a smartphone from 2018, Cliff, which had a vaccine passport on its screen. It was a beta test of a screen passport on your smartphone. 2018. This is 2 years before it even started. So they knew this is all done. There are patents on things tied into this that have been on the books for 5-6 years now. And longer. This has been planned for decades.
That brings up an interesting point that you just made right there, that this is going to go on forever, for as long as they deem that they want to keep doing it. And sure. For every 6 months or so, there's going to be a booster shot, you know. And this is what Dr. Yadin was saying, is that 6 months from now, you get one shot and a booster, and then you get another booster 6 months from now. And then a year from now, they slip something into it, which can do this or that. And by then, everybody's used to taking their booster. And then the next thing you know, 2 years later, you've got liver failure or Lord knows what else. And for all we know, folks, you could be getting a liver failure 2 years from now from the shot that they're giving you right now. So
that appears to be exactly the plan, that there'll be a long enough time where plausible deniability can be played against us. Well, we didn't. Well, that was 2 years ago. What are you talking about? Well, what happens is, and we know this now, it's science, the immune system in your body will be depressed. It will be ultimately outperformed, that's the word they're using, so much that it won't be a factor anymore. You basically will become, you will have the profile of an AIDS patient. You'll have no viable immune system. And every major disease that comes along will look to set up shop in your non-resistant biome, your body. You will have no resistance. So these cancers, were, you're going to see people with cancer all over the place. Already it's one out of two, I get that. But it's going to be one out of one very soon. And the reason cancer is going to be a big problem is because of the P53 gene. It's a little protein. And it's a tumor-suppressing protein. It's what keeps those of you who don't have cancer from getting it, and those of you who do get it, in many cases, you'll get well. It's that P53 gene. Well, that P53 gene is inactivated by these mRNA kill shots. Don't get them. And I, again, for all of you who have gotten them, you were tricked into it, whatever, peer pressure, I understand. Don't give up hope. Don't quit. Don't worry every day. You've got to live your life. There will be things coming along from the alternative medicine field that are going to help you. When you don't have the ability to fight back against a virus or a bacteria, you do have Allicin C. You do have Gresca's C60. You do have Carnivora.com. You do have OxyC. These are the four best things. And then underneath all of that, underlying all of that, is your immune system, and you need nutrition to keep your body as healthy as possible, and that's BioSuperfood. I have honestly been blessed to have those best five products in the world that I can recommend to people. Those are going to save a lot of lives. I personally have no doubt about it. In the next 2, 3, 4 years. That's the target.
Go ahead, Chris. Absolutely. I concur 100% on that. It's all about taking care of yourself, even if you have gone ahead and gotten the shot. Some people did it without thinking, and now they're starting to think about it going, whoops. Just don't be getting any more, okay? Don't be going back in 6 months for the booster that they're going to start shoving down our throats. And start taking care of your body. Start taking Allicin C. Start taking as many of different kinds of palliatives as you can for the body. Exercise. Get out and keep yourself healthy with exercise. And above all, I think, and this is what has helped me, Jeff, with more gallons, is keep a positive attitude, folks. You know, be positive. Hey, you know what? We're all in this together. Just smile, because you got two choices. What are you going to do? You're going to cry, you're going to smile. Which one's more fun? You know, it's like the underlying conditions aren't going to change. You know, but keep a positive attitude, and you'll be amazed how just having that positive attitude, actually, I believe personally that it boosts your survivability.
Proven to boost the immune system. Minute of raging anger literally compromises and knocks the hell out of your immune system for up to 8 hours. Look it up. You can find it online. It's true. Anger and rage will damage your immune system function. Happiness will help it. So really good point. Very important. For those of you who say, well, if this is true, the government will be talking about these fibers found in the test kits and the swabs and in the masks. And no, the government's not going to talk about it. We proved everything under the sun with Morgellons. Cliff and Jan and Clifford Carnicom, another one who played a key role in the early research in this, and others. We did it all. We drug these pictures out, samples out, made them available, and then tell them about the government finally agreeing under pressure to launch a formal investigation about these fibers, these filaments, nanotubes, if you will, and other things that were being found in people's bodies, in lesions on their arms, legs, backs, wherever. Tell them what the government said they were going to do. We're going to have a big test. Yeah. Tell them what happened.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. That was a little bit of an education in how bureaucracies work to subtly assassinate programs they don't want to deal with. So Jeff and I and Jan and a group of other people had been, Cindy Casey, some others, had been really, really pushing hard to get something done, to get some recognition, to get some official research established out there through government channels, right? So we finally, after enough heat, we had talked to representatives, we talked to several people in Congress, and there were some people that actually did go to bat for us, and they put the squeeze on the CDC. Well, that was an interesting situation because the CDC drug their feet, and I believe it was almost from the time they were funded, which is another story, it took them, I believe, as I recall, 4 years to get the study done. And they underfunded it in order to kill it. So I think they gave, as I recall, it's been some time, but I think it's about $320,000 to do a study on this particular situation.
Yeah, exactly. It was about 300 and some thousand, and they used Kaiser Permanente Hospital in Northern California kind of as a headquarters for it. And the day they announced that this test was going to be finished, wrapped up, and the results presented, and it was within a year of this test announcement that they were going to come, we all said, I remember this, there's no way, it's not going to happen. They're going to put it off, and that's what they did. And they didn't do it for 1 year, 2 years. It might have been in the third year or the fourth, I don't remember, but they finally came forward with the results. Now, they had over 100 seriously ill Morgellons people to work with in that test, as I remember. They were getting stuff from fibers. People were sending fibers in, little pieces of metal that when you look at them under high mag, they're not little pieces of metal. They're little machines. Some of them glow and they open up. It's bizarre. You can see them in the Creeper Joe Nano Joe article. I got pictures in there. They're Jan Smith's, and I want to credit Jan always for that. So they finally announced the test results, and they had 100 and some people. They had all the good data. They had all the good test fibers, test pieces of this, pieces of that. They had one piece of a plaque, which was the sort of translucent semi-scab that would grow over these lesions, had actually letters and numbers on it. I forget which, but one or the other. Block letters and block numbers. This was a projection of some nanotechnological branding that was involved with this Morgellons disease. Anyway, that's up there. You'll see that as well. It's all there. So when they finally came out with the test results, we said, and I think it was you, said that they're not going to find, quote, anything. Nothing. And what did they find when they released the test results?
I think the title was something, as I recall, No Such Thing as Morgellons. I'm trying to remember. It's been a few years since I wrote the article. But I warned the people in the article before, because I wrote it right before the release, and you published it. And, you know, I just warned people that this is coming. And I think right after that, they came out with their results, which were just a complete whitewash. It was so pathetic. And we were just going, are you kidding me? I mean, it was like a really bad movie. And it was really what we expected when it comes right down to it. The powers that be had no intention of ever actually dealing with this honestly. And we got exactly what we thought we would get.
Yeah, well, you called it. And Jan agreed and I agreed. And we did publish your paper. I forget what you called it. It was something like CDC launches fraud test to evaluate more gallons, something like that. But they claimed at the end of this multi-year test that they never found one thing that wasn't explainable. And they said it was all just pieces of cotton fiber or things that people had caught by laying on the carpeting, or it was disgusting. And they said, all on top of it all, it was people. I don't think they quite used delusions of parasitosis, but they said it was a delusional issue. They did say that these people might need some counseling. That's how insulting this was. And go ahead.
It was unbelievable. It was just unbelievable. I'm trying to find that article right now, if I can. I think I know where it is, so I could just share the title with the folks out there in Radio Land.
Send it to me, and I'll republish it, because it was one of the dark and dirtiest moments of the corrupt CDC that I've ever seen. And all these people are just suffering terribly. Remember, no Morgellons victim, when they die, could be autopsied. Just remember that. The families were told, nope, sorry, cremation only. And that was it.
Right.
So they did not want to look inside, because we knew that they would find fiber infestation in any or all of the major organ systems, including the brain. And when I saw that swab going way back up against that brain bone plate, I knew they were trying to put those fibers unknowingly on that thinnest portion so they could work their way right through into the brain. They'll go through the blood-brain barrier anyway, but they were doing that intentionally. That was an inoculation with a Q-tip is what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You find your article?
No, I'm still looking for it. It's you know how that goes. When you want something, you can't find it. When you're looking for it or not looking for it, there it is. But I did want to say something about cotton. And there, you'll find a lot of these fibers in cotton. So it's either attracted to it or gets trapped in it, whatever. But one of the first things that we did when Jan and I first met and we were doing research was we would buy Q-tips and we would buy cotton swabs, anything with cotton in it, and usually we would find something. So I would avoid those swabs, folks, just like Jeff was saying, stay away from that stuff. Stay away from it.
Right.
No question about it.
It's bad. If you do a simple search on the site, Cliff Mickelson, on the site search bar at Rents, you'll see a lot of material that he's contributed. Morgellons destroys relationships, families, and happiness. One, just they're all there. I'm looking for your... we really blasted the hell out of them. In fact, Google may have taken it down. This is... I wouldn't be surprised.
No. Me neither. I know that the article's out there somewhere. I was just trying to find it. It's a really good one for the folks in Radio Land to read. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, we're not trying to scare you. We're just or be dramatic or anything like that. Jeff and I and Jan too. We've been through this. We know what we're talking about. Okay, we know what it can do. We know where it will lead, and we know what it will do. As I said, to your life. So we just want you to understand that knowledge is power. Okay. And so make yourself as knowledgeable as possible so you can empower yourselves to deal with this kind of stuff and to make intelligent decisions about the way the system is trying to manipulate you on this subject and the COVID issue as well.
Oh, they are. Oh, it's the same thing. I found it.
Oh, you did? Good.
On January 19th, 2008. I published Cliff's article, and the title, CDC/Kaiser, as in Kaiser Permanente, quote, groundbreaking, end quote, Morgellon study is a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
That was a declaration, and that was 100% right. Let me just read a tiny bit of this. Much sound and fury is being generated by mainstream media concerning the recent CDC announcement that Kaiser Permanente has been selected by the CDC to conduct a groundbreaking study into the causes and nature of what the CDC and Kaiser both euphemistically and erroneously term Morgellons syndrome. In the opening news conference statement to the press, the CDC's principal investigator with his Kaiser counterpart set the tone for the CDC position on this issue that can only be described as disingenuous at best. When the doctors said, there is insufficient information to determine whether persons who identify themselves as having this condition have common cause for their symptoms or may share common risk factors. So at the first news conference, they were already trying to explain it all away, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just
exactly.
Really disgusting. Furthermore, the CDC is quite clearly aware that there already exists a large body of professional Morgellons research that has been done under the organized auspices of former Morgellons Research Foundation scientist Dr. Randy Wymore. Dr. Wymore, the current head of Morgellons Research at the prestigious School of Pharmacology at Oklahoma State University, has personally briefed CDC officials in the past. Nonetheless, the Atlanta-based organization showed very little interest in the subject of Morgellons or in Dr. Wymore's revolutionary findings concerning the growing danger this affliction poses to society at large. Okay, anyway, so they dilly-dallied along for 3 years plus, came back with a basically, it's all in your head, or it's cotton fibers from your clothing, or you have an irrational desire to scratch your body, you itch too much, it's all in your head. So again, the title is CDC Kaiser Groundbreaking Morgellons Study of Fraud. And Cliff, and we made that pronunciation right after the news conference. So we called it, and we were right.
Absolutely. Yeah, and this is what you can expect in the Morgellons community. This is how you've been marginalized. This is how you've been, we, I should say, this is how we have been marginalized. This is how we have been cast into the shadows and made to doubt our own observations, right? The trolls came out from under the bridge instantly, Jeff, as you know, because you've been there with us. It was worse than a Grimm's fairy tale. I mean, the trolls were everywhere. And anytime, even to this very day, mind you, get a load of this, April 14th, 2021, from a website called Full Fact, debunking fibers in masks. They're already, the trolls are already at work on anything to do with Morgellons.
They rolled it out as soon as we began to publicize the masks and the swabs having fibers. They rolled out the same old operations teams. I'll bet there were a lot more veterans. Yeah, that's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Sickening.
And it's the same old routine. Yep, there it is. And I swear, you know, in 20 minutes, when something about Morgellons comes out, or any kind of research or any kind of announcement or any kind of news or discovery, such as the masks, such as the swabs, it's like a ring in the bell. Instantly, out come the trolls, and they come out in force, which tells me that the powers that be really, really, really have an interest in keeping this marginalized.
Absolutely right. This story is all about nanotechnology. Where it came from is part of it, which will never be told. We can assume, though, I think by looking at those images, they are stunning. And you can find them in the right side, down low, in that permanent feature about the coronavirus and the coronavirus vaccine. It's all the key stories are there. I've saved them all. Pass them around, please. People are wondering, could they be in Kleenex? Could it be in toilet paper? Yeah, could, sure. And maybe it is. But the point is, it's all over the place anyhow. People could take scotch tape. And what did you use to do, Cliff? You went to like a windowsill and was it you did that or Jan? And did scotch tape and you could find fibers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we both used to do that just for we'd get together on a lark and make a bet to see who could find the most. They're everywhere. The one thing I wanted to say, though, is even though they're everywhere, not everybody reacts the same to it. So it seems to, it does seem to affect certain, maybe it's your DNA or genetics, differently than others.
Probably now it is honed in on DNA. They've had 15 years to or more to bring this stuff way along, and they have.
Right.
No doubt about it. One last thing, a real quick thing. These fibers do actually get into your scalp or your body, and they will kill off the hair follicle and take up residence in that same shaft that the hair came out from the follicle, and they will start growing. We've had people on the program years ago who all around their forehead and the side of their face on each side where the hair started, they weren't hairs anymore. They were Morgellons fibers, and they move. And because they move, they itch. And I remember this one poor woman we had on from Australia, she said she wanted to kill herself. She couldn't sleep because her head was moving in this little minute micro fashion all over the place from these fibers that were growing out of the hair follicles, what used to be a hair follicle. So that was another
right.
issue.
Yeah,
so
and the
much
itching's
this.
Intense.
Oh,
yeah.
It's bad. It's bad.
Yeah.
Final comment from Cliff tonight on this visit. We'll have you back if you're around, and I want to follow this because this Morgellons fiber thing is not necessarily classic Morgellons, but it's the same tech. So we go to what we know and we extrapolate from there. Go ahead, Cliff.
Well, what I would like to say in closing, Jeff, is that what we're seeing happening now, remember, folks, that technology is 30 years ahead of what we're seeing on the street, okay? So this is all tied together. I mean, we've been talking about the vaccines, we've been talking about the passport, we've been talking about Morgellons, and they might seem like separate subjects, but they're not, okay? There's a common thread, to use a bad pun, all the way through, okay? And in the future, perhaps we can delve into that a little deeper and explore, dive into those and explain them a little bit more. But they're all connected.
Well said. Cliff, I just very grateful to have you back on. You're a friend, and we've been through a lot together. And bless you, and take care of yourself. And we'll have you back on. Let me know when you're ready, and when you watch this, as you do, pass anything along to me you see, and I'll do the same.
I sure will, Jeff. And as always, it's great visiting with you. And hope you have a great spring up in your neck of the woods. Okay.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, my friend. Okay. Good night, Cliff.
Good night. See you later.
Okay. Cliff Mickelson. There's a real special human being. He fights this stuff. It's tough. He's had it for a long time. Okay, we'll be right back. Hang on.